Myth number two, on looking at it, seems to have a lot. Seems to be mostly a myth because of the way it is said. Christ's purpose for his people on earth is that we reach out to others to save souls. What's the problem here?
The problem, as you say, is in those last couple of words. I think it is important for us to recognize that it starts off well, and we sometimes lose sight of the fact that whether my particular vocation is as a husband or as a wife or as a worker or as a student or whatever it may be, God has all Christians here in order to be a salt and a light and in order to declare the wonderful praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, God has a purpose for us to spread his word in this world. But we're not just saving souls. Oh, I suppose even today we use that word soul as kind of a nickname for people. Like we'll talk about how 100 souls perished in a fire. Well, it wasn't just their souls, it was soul and body. But it's good for us to be explicit still that God is out to save more than just souls. Here in the week prior to Easter, we especially remember that God is the God of resurrection. He wants to raise that body, which he created. He wants to raise that body which has been baptized into union with the death and the resurrection of Christ. So just as really as Christ came forth from the tomb in his body, reunited with his soul, so also God wants to raise Christians, body and soul.
Is this why Jesus showed compassion for people in their physical needs?
Well, Jesus showed compassion for a whole lot of reasons. Behind them all is this fact that Jesus cares about the creation which he has made. He does this in miracle after miracle. You know, he is sort of setting things right. He's taking things back to what they should have been in the Garden of Eden before sin entered the world and before all the results and consequences of sin were then allowed to come into the world by God. And notice in a lot of cases when Jesus does his healings, he gets the order in a very particular way. First, for example, with the paralytic that they lower down on the mat before him through the roof, he forgives the guy's sins, and then he tells him to get up and walk. He takes care of the guy's most important need, the need for the forgiveness of sins, right off the top, and then he heals the guy's physical ailment. Or in the circumstances where he feeds 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and then 4,000 men, not counting women and children. In both of those instances, he feeds them in this miraculous way, but that's only after he has taught them the word all day. Then he gives them the bread. In our case, works of love, things that we do for people to help them in their bodily needs, can be the entree for telling the good news. We just got to be sure that we don't fail to follow up with the good news, that we sort of just leave it at, oh, well, I did a nice thing for you, and we'll let it go at that. We can't let it go at that. If we're really going to be following the pattern of Christ in this, we've got to tell people the good news.